Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Yud Aleph. We're beginning from the second line to the bottom on Yud Omud Beis. And we just remind ourselves, yesterday we had a machlokis in the Mishnah that's towards the bottom of the Daf, where we had Rav Yehuda's opinion that you only do a bedika before the Zman that it's an Isser Daraisa to have chametz in your possession. In other words, you could do a bedika preferably on your dalet in the evening, like you're supposed to. If you didn't do it then, you do the bedika, your dalet in the morning, and you can do it up to the time when it's asim ederaisa. But after that, Rav Yehuda makes a gzeira. Rav Yehuda is gozer and says, you may come to find the chametz if you do a bedika on Pesach and eat it, or you'll find chametz after Pesach, and be chametz shavah l'sa Pesach, which is asim ederabanan, to get any hana from, and you're going to eat it. So therefore, Rav Yehuda institutes a gzeira. And he says, don't do a bedika, because you may find something, and then you're going to be in trouble. On the other hand, the Chacham say, no, we don't mind doing a bedika. It's not a problem, and we're not concerned that a person is going to go and eat the chametz that he finds on Pesach or after Pesach. However, the Gemara is now going to question this concept of do we or do we not make a gzeira? And we'll ultimately see that both Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim agree that sometimes you make a gzeira and other times you don't make a gzeira. And they're just going to have differences of opinion in specific cases. And now let us begin. The Gemara starts and says, Umi gozer Rav Yehuda, duma osi mechal mine. Did Rav Yehuda really make a gzeira in our Mishnah that says we don't let you do a bedika after the Zman of Isur Daraisa, after noon on your dalet, because you may come to find a gluska yofa, you'll find a nice piece and you're going to go eat it? I'll show you that Rav Yehuda doesn't make gzeiras. And paradoxically, we'll also see that the Chachamim do make a gzeira and they didn't make one in the Mishnah. That will be a side question that we'll ask from this Mishnah. But we see in the Mishnah, in Menachos, it says over there, the Hotinan Mishakarav Omer. Once the Omer is a special carbon that's brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, and this allows you to have the new wheat that's growing in Eretz Yisrael. It's no longer called Chodosh, it's now called Yoshan. All the new wheat that is around is now able to be eaten. But you're not allowed to go and harvest it beforehand, and that's the concern that this Mishnah is talking about. Mishakarav HaOmer, once the Omer is brought, so then you're allowed to eat the new wheat. It's no longer called Chodesh, it's now called Yoshin. And Yotzin, however, the people would go out, Umotzin Shuke Yushalayim Shemaleim Kemach V'Koli. People would go out, and they would see that the stores already were all filled with kemach, which is flour, and koli is like popcorn, it's toasted grains. And therefore, they did this, Shaloh, the Ratzon Chachamim was returned to the Omer Aleph. Hein Osin, Divrei Ramei. Ramei says this was wrong. As Rashi points out the top line, the Ikal Amigzar, you should make a Gzeira, and this is the Chachamim talking, Ramei is the Chachamim, the Ikal Amigzar, Dumo Kimi Askibe, Osile Mei Chalmine. That maybe when you're toasting these kernels or making the flour, you're going to come to eat some of it. And as a result, that would be a problem because you're not allowed to eat it. It's Chodosh. So therefore, the Chachamim, i.e., Rav Meir, they, in fact, made a gzeira. Now, that's going to ultimately be a question. The Chachamim of Mishnah did not make gzeira. They said, do the bedika in the middle of Pesach or after Pesach. I'm not concerned that you may come to eat it. So that will ultimately be a question. How come the Chachamim, which is Rav Meir, seem to here make a gzeira? Shalom b'ratzu Chachamim, you should make a gzeira. Don't go and harvest the wheat because it's Chodosh and you're going to go and possibly eat it before the Korban Omer is brought. Whereas in our Mishnah, the rabbis did not make a gzeira. But that's not what we'll focus on right now. Right now, we'll focus on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no problem. B'ratzu Chachamim, Mayurosin, the people who had their stores already filled with flour and these kernels, no problem. They didn't do anything wrong. And therefore, you see, here, in this Mishnah Menachos, Rav Yehuda is not gozer. So how come in our Mishnah he is gozer? That's the question on Rav Yehuda. Kash Rav Yehuda on Rav Yehuda. So the Girsa that we have is Omar Rava, but it says both on the side of the Soros Hashas and in the Bach, they both change it to be Omar Rabba. And Rabba says, no, this case is different. The case of Menachos with the Chodosh is different. Shiny Chodosh. Why? There was a special gzeira here. You weren't allowed to go and harvest these grains in the normal fashion. You're only allowed to go and pick them with your hands. So therefore, this picking with your hands, each individual stalk, that's going to remind you, don't go and eat it. And therefore, there was no reason in the Mishnah of Menachos for Rabbi Yehuda to make a gzeira. And that's why he said, B'ratzon Chachamim Mayuosin. And this is all based upon psukim. Rashi brings down the psukim to show you that you're not allowed to go and harvest this in the normal way. He says, only be yodayim. Kol hashana ela be yodayim kothin amalilos min hakarka. The osu likzol if neomer, you're not letting go and harvest them in the normal way before the omer. So therefore, everybody's going to do it in a different way, and that's going to remind you, and therefore no gzera is necessary. But in our Mishnah, there is a reason to make gzera, because you're going to forget. You're going to find in the middle of Pesach, shemo yimsa gluska yofin, you're going to put in your mouth, you eat it, you're going to own it, and you'll be over by your matzah. So therefore, there's no stira, Rabba tells us, because chadush is different, and there's no need to make gzera by chadush, but there is need for Rabbi Yehuda to make gzera in our Mishnah. Only Abaye doesn't like this teretz from Rabba. And he says, Teinach b'shas k'tifa. That's great. When you're talking about at the time of this kitsira, when you're picking it by hand, this k'tifa is each grain you're picking by hand, kotvin and lilis and akarka, so you're doing this by hand, so that's great. But what about afterwards? Techina, when you're grinding it up, what sort of a reminder is there that you had picked this by hand? Now, all the kernels are here, and you're grinding up in the normal way. Varakadu, when you do the sifting, Michael Neymar, what type of a reminder is over here? So therefore, you should have the same concern. Rabbi Yehuda, you should make a gzera over here, even by the Chadosh. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Holokasha, because techina berechaya, you'll do the techina berechaya diyad. You'll do that also in a different way. You won't do it with a big water mill. You won't do it with a big millstone. You're going to do it with a hand mill. And therefore, berechaya diyad. Oh, why am I doing it in this clumsy way, in this little way? Oh, it must be because I'm not allowed to eat it. That'll be a reminder. Likewise, with the sifting, harkada, you can do agabi napa. Rav, she explains, l'tzada tachton shal napa, you can do it upside down. Hofech hanapa al panah. And therefore, again, it's not the most efficient way to do this. And by the fact that you're doing it with a shinoi, it's going to remind you, hey, I'm not allowed to eat it. So therefore, the picking it, the ktifa, the trina, the grinding it, and the arkada, the sifting it, are all done with the shinoi. That's why Rabbi Yehuda over there by Chodesh says you don't need to make any sort of a gezerah, because it's built in that you're going to remember and not go and eat it by accident. As opposed to Shema Yimsa Gluska Yof, in the middle of Pesach, if you do a bedikah, you're going to find a delicious wrapped cookie and you're going to put it in your mouth before you realize it. Morris says, still, Elohadit Nan, Abai is not happy yet, and he says, wait a second, there's another Mishnah Menachos, which says, Kotzrin Beis Hashalachim V'Shebo Amokim. Now that's the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, that you're allowed to go and harvest the regular way from the Beis HaShlochem. Beis HaShlochem, we've learned previously, are fields that are irrigated. They're not satisfied with rain. What do you have to irrigate these fields? And those are not the fields that you go and take the Omer from. So therefore, since it's also, Rashi explains, to take the Omer from these fields, there paradoxically is no issue to go and harvest them with the regular harvesting tools, and you don't have to harvest them by hand. And likewise, Sheba Amakim. Rashi explains the Amakim, according to this Girsa, are the Tvua HaGdela Bein HaAmakim, the wheat that grows in between these fields in the valley. Others have the Girsa over here, Shabes HaShlochim BeAmakim. They're in the irrigated fields in the valleys. In any event, whatever the actual Girsa is, Rashi has Shabes HaAmakim. Either way, whatever the Girsa is, this is basically telling us that you have no shinoi, and you're going to go and harvest these fields in the regular, normal way. So therefore, you should have a concern over here that maybe you're going to come to eat it. And the only thing is, avalogotchen. That Mishnah tells us that don't go and stack them up. Don't go and pile them up before the Omer is brought. Now, maybe you'll tell me that this Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. No, vokimna ki Rabbi Yehuda. But that Mishnah is, in fact, over there, teaching us that it's in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Because it says there at the end that the Anshei Yericho did certain things, and the Chacham were happy with them, and three things that they were unhappy with them. And it says that Rabbi Yehuda was the one who stated that. So therefore, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And yet it says that you don't make a gzera. And why in our Mishnah does Rabbi Yehuda say you make a gzera, and over there you don't make a gzera? So Abaye says, that's therefore not the Teretz. Elom Abaye, the reason why is Chodosh Bedil Minei. Chodosh is something which all year long, people know, I can't eat Chodosh, I can't eat Chodosh, I can't eat Chodosh till the Omer. And people are used to not eating the Chodosh. It's a reminder constantly that you don't eat Chodosh. And therefore, nobody's going to by accident eat the Chodosh until the Korban Omer is brought. Therefore, there's no need for a Gezerah. That's what Abaye says. As opposed to, You're eating chametz all year long. You have a delicious cookie all year long. Cookie, cookie, cookie. Oh, now in the middle of Pesach, you're used to eating cookies. You're going to find this cookie, shamin tzibluska yofa, and you're going to put it in your mouth. And therefore, chametz lo badil minei, and that's why by chametz, Rabbi Yehuda has to make a gzera. But by the chadash, Rabbi Yehuda did not feel it's necessary to make a gzera because it is very important principle of chadash badil minei. You're going to separate yourself from it. You're not going to be concerned that you by accident may eat the chadash. That's the teretz that Abaye gives. Amar Rava, Rava says, so how come we're only concerned about this problem with Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah against Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah in Menachos? That's what Rava is alluding to, what I mentioned before. The Rav Yehuda, Kasha, okay, you have a problem with Rav Yehuda. He says in our Mishnah you make Gzeira, and in the Mishnah in Menachos he says you don't make Gzeira. But why aren't you concerned that in our Mishnah, the Rabbanan, Lokasha, in our Mishnah, the Rabbanan say, you don't make Gzeira, but over there in Menachos, the Rabbanan say, you do make Gzeira. So why are you only picking on Rav Yehuda that he has a stira? You have the same stira with the Chachamim. So Rava says, no, both of them are not a problem. The Rav Yehuda, the Rehuda, Lokasha, Kiddushaninan. We've explained perfectly, beautiful, Abaye, you explained why Rav Yehuda making Gezerah in our Mishnah is not a stira, why he doesn't make Gezerah in the Mishnah in Menachos, because of Baal Dominei in Menachos, and not Baal Dominei by Chometz. Very good. But also, the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan, Nami Lokasha. There's no stira, Rava says, between the Chachamim in our Mishnah not making Gezerah, and yet in the Mishnah by Menachos, with Chodesh, they do make Gezerah. Why is that? Lokasha. Who atzmo mechazer lov l'sarfo, as I mentioned yesterday, Shir. What's going on in our Mishnah? The guy is doing bedikas chametz, looking for chametz. It's very unlikely that he's going to forget that it's Pesach when he's doing bedikas chametz. Who atzmo mechazer lov l'sarfo? Are we really concerned that we should make gzeira, that he may come to eat it? That's why in our Mishnah, the Chacham don't make gzeira. And no problem, do a bedikas chametz, because you have to find out if you have chametz there, so you can burn it. And after Pesach, you still have to find out if there's chametz there, because it's chametz shavu'ot of Pesach, and you have to get rid of it. But there's no concern, because you're doing bedikas chametz, and therefore there's no way you're going to eat it. But by the Chadash, we are concerned you're going to eat it. The Chachamim do not think that Badol Minei is an adequate reason. You're going to forget yourself, you're working on grinding it, and you're going to put some in your mouth. And therefore, the Chachamim, in fact, make Gzeira. Again, the Chachamim is Rav Meir. That's teretz number one. Gemara is going to have another teretz, which we're going to reject. Rav Asha, my Rav Asha says, the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda Lokasha, the reason why Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah makes Gzeira, and Rav Yehuda in Menachos by Chodosh doesn't make Gzeira, is because it's dealing with Kemach, V'kali tnan. There it's dealing with things that are inedible. Rashi says, V'ein elu ru'uyin l'achila. That's why there's no concern. Rav Yehuda doesn't make a gzeira in Menachos because they're not edible. They're beyond edibility over there. And therefore, there's no reason to make a gzeira. Nobody eats flour, and these toasted kernels are also not really edible. You have to do something to them in order to make them edible. And therefore, there's no reason to make a gzeira. However, the Gemara says this is a mistake. Hod Rav Ashi bedusahi. Bedusa means it's incorrect. Others have the gear, so berusa means it's like berah, it's outside. In either event, bedusa, berusa both mean the same thing, that he made a mistake. And the reason is because hotenach mikali va'elach. That's great once it's already in this state where it's inedible. However, Meikara, until it got to this state, Ad Koli, Michael and Amar, it was perfectly edible then, it was soft, it was delicious then, so until that point in time, why didn't Rav Yehuda make a gzeira over there? So therefore, it's a problem. Maybe it's the same teretz that we just gave a minute ago, but that wouldn't apply over here, the Gemara will say. V'chitema aide kitof kidir rabba, it should be, instead of kidir rabba, because as we said, we've changed the gears around from rava to rabba. So you want to tell me that it's because they picked it hand by hand, each kernel was picked individually, and therefore that's the reminder. So we said that's great for the fields that could be good for the chadosh. Elo kotrin beis hashlochem sheba amokim, but the fields that are irrigated fields, and or the fields in the valley, or the irrigated fields in the valleys, whatever the gears is, v'yokimnik Rav Yehuda, and we explained it's like Rav Yehuda, Michael and Meimar, that was a kasha that Rabba couldn't answer, and therefore Rav Ashi can't answer it either. So the Gemara concludes, you're right, Ela the Rav Ashi bedusi or berusi. Rav Ashi is in fact incorrect, and the teretz that Abaye gave, and with Rava's additional teretz to explain the Chachamim and the Chachamim, that is the correct teretz. Now the Gemara says, this teretz that Abaye gave us, that something that you're badal minei, like the chadash that you're so used to not having, you don't have to make a gzeira on, the Gemara now questions, is that really true? V'chol hecha, de lo badal minei, Mi gozer Rav Yehuda, you seem to be saying that only if it's badul mineh that Rav Yehuda doesn't make a gzeira, implying that if it's not something, the low badul mineh, you're not something, it's something that you're not used to, so then you should make a gzeira. But I'll show you that Rav Yehuda doesn't always make a gzeira. We have another Mishnah in the Gemara in Shabbos. It says over there, Vatnan, Lo Yikov Odim Shvoferish Lo Beitza. This is from the Bamei Madlikin Perek, and it deals with if a person wants to have like a reservoir in excess of oil. So what he should not do, Lo Yikov Odim Shvoferish Lo Beitza, don't take an egg and take out the inside of the egg and just leave the intact shell and pour in oil over there, v'yimaleh shemen, v'yitnana b'tzadon er, and put it next to the candle and let it drip in. So this way, the lamp that you have is filled with oil, and as the oil comes out, gets burned by the lamp, more will drip in. So don't do that. You're not allowed to go and do that. A gzeira. And he says, this is true, afili yishol cheres, and this is so, even if it's made out of something that's cheres, which is foul smelling, and it is not a nice thing, you still shouldn't do this. The Tanakhama says, we make a gzeira, because you may come to take some of this oil, which is now designated for the lamb, and you can put it on your salad, and therefore, you shouldn't do this. And even if it's cheres, which is something that's not so pleasant, it's not so nice, we're still concerned, we make a gzeira. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Emiuda doesn't make a gzeira. Now, this is something that certainly is not badul mineh. This isn't something that you're used to not using all year long. You use oil all year long. So therefore, Rav Yehuda should have made a gzeira over here because it's low badul mineh. And yet, Rav Yehuda doesn't make a gzeira. So we have a kasha on Abaye's teretz. Abaye said that Rav Yehuda by Chodesh says it's badul mineh, and therefore we don't make a gzeira. But if it hadn't been badul mineh, low badul mineh, he would make a gzeira. So the shofaris of the beitza that you have oil in, it's not badul mineh, and yet still Rav Yehuda doesn't make gzeira. Only the Chacham make gzeira, kasha, this teretz of Abaye. In one place he says, Rav Yehuda doesn't make gzeira because of lo badul mineh over here in Gemara and Shabbos, and yet by Chodosh he says, it's only because it's badul mineh that you don't make gzeira. So the Gemara says, no, hasam, over there in Shabbos with the shoferish or beitza, there's another reason. It's two reasons why Rav Yehuda doesn't make gzeira. If it's badul mineh, if it's something that you're so used to not using like chadash, or if you have the strictness of Shabbos, a person is so chomer, Shabbos, and this is Shabbos, so therefore we're not concerned that you're going to forget yourself and go and take some of the oil out of the shosferis for beitza, and therefore there's no reason to make gzeira according to Rav Yehuda. Very good. So now you see that Shabbos is strict. Anything dealing with Shabbos, Rav Yehuda doesn't make a gzeira because it's such a strict thing. The Shabbos, mivda b'dilei. Shabbos, a person will stay away from making mistakes because it's so strict. More questions that. But Rami, the Shabbos of Shabbos. You're telling me by Shabbos, Rav Yehuda never makes a gzeira? I'll show you that he does. We have a braisa, the Tanya, chevel deli shenifsak. If you have a pail that you're going to bring up water from the well, so you have a rope to attach to it so you can draw up the water in the pail with a rope. But what happens if this rope nifsak, it's cut? Chevel deli shenifsak, the rope is cut. Lo yekosho, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go and tie it back together. You're not allowed to make a knot on Shabbos because there's an issue to make a knot on Shabbos. So what can you do? So the Braisa tells us, ela onvo. So make a bow. A bow is not a permanent knot, according to the Tanakhama, and therefore you're allowed to go make a bow, but you can't go make a knot. Now, the Tanakhama does not make a gzeira, aniva, otu kishira. That if we allow you to make a bow, you may come to make a knot. The Tanakhama says no. There's no issa d'oraisa to make a bow, and we're therefore, we're not instituting a din d'rabbanan, a gzeira d'rabbanan. If we allow you to make a bow, you may come to make a knot. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Okay? Now along comes Rav Yehuda. Our Rav Yehuda says that we don't make gzeiras on Shabbos because the Shabbos mivdal b'dilei, a person is so concerned about Shabbos, he's definitely going to separate himself from doing an issa on Shabbos. Along comes our Rav Yehuda, and he says, no. Rav Yehuda Omer, we do make a gzeira. Korech alav punda opsikya. We only allow you to go and wrap it. Korech. You wrap it with either a punda. Rashi tells us that a punda is a belt, an azar, that has space inside of it. Cholol. It's a hollow belt. Or a psikya. Psikya, Rashi tells us, is something shekorech and svivo shokayim. This is something that you put around your socks to hold your socks up, like a garter belt. So that you're allowed to do. However, ubavad shlo yanvenu, but don't make a bow. Why? Because on the surface, Rav Yehuda is telling us, if you make a bow, you may come to make a knot. And therefore, Rav Yehuda on Shabbos makes a gzera. Kasha, you just told me that Rav Yehuda doesn't make a gzera on Shabbos. He didn't make a gzera in the Shoshveris or Beitza because he says Shabbos is too strict. Nobody's going to make a mistake. So how come over here with the pail that has the rope snapped, he doesn't let you go make a bow? So he does make a gzera. So we have double problem over here. Kasha, Rav Yehuda. In Hilcha Shabbos by the Shoshveris or Beitza, he does not make a gzera because Shabbos is so strict. But here, by the Delish and Nifsak, he does make a gzera. And by the way, it's also Kasha, the Rabbanon, because by the Shvov Erish Obeitza, the Chachamim do make a gzera, and over here, the Chachamim do not make a gzera. So we got a problem in both ways. Both the Chachamim and the Rabbi Yehuda are inconsistent. Each of them makes a gzera in one place on Shabbos, and doesn't make it in the other place. Each of them makes it in a different place, a gzera, and the other place they don't make the gzera. So it's a Kasha on both of them. So where it says both are an akasha. The Rabbanan and the Rabbanan lokasha, the reason why the Chachamim make a gzera by the Shoferish or Beitza, but they don't make over here that you can't make a bow because you may come to make a permanent knot, the Rabbanan lokasha, because shemen, bishemen, michlaf, because oil is oil. It's always going to be used. And therefore, if we don't make a gzera by the oil, by the Shoferish or Beitza, you're going to come to use it because you always use oil on Shabbos. So therefore, it's not bodomineh, and even the strictness of Shabbos is not going to be something that is going to prevent you from doing this because you're so used to taking oil. How come by the leash and ifsak, they allow you to make a bow? Because you know what? Aniva b'ksheru l'michlaf. Because the rabbis felt that just because we allow you to make a bow doesn't mean you're going to make a permanent knot. A person is going to know. A bow are you allowed to do? Because a bow is not an issa deraisa, but a knot is an issa deraisa. So therefore, the Chachamim did not feel that it was necessary to make a gzera because aniva and kshira are different enough that they won't lead, if you make a bow, to go make a knot. As opposed to shemen and shemen, they said that would be definitely a problem. So the Chacham is not a problem. We can understand why the Chachamim make a gzera by the Shofer Shobeitza, but they don't make a gzera by the Chevel Delisha Nifsak. And likewise, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Lami Lo Kasha. It's also not a Kasha, because time of the Rabbi Yehuda, Lad Mishum De Gozer Aniva Atuk Shira. No, you're making a mistake. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you to make an Aniva is not because he says, if we allow you to make the permissible bow, you may come to make a non-permissible knot. It's because, if you remember back from Shabbos, we had El Mishum de Kesover, Aniva Gufuk Shirahi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Aniva, a bow, is an Issa Deraisa. He holds that there's no difference between a bow and a knot. Both of them are an Issa Deraisa. So this is not a Gzeira. This is an Issa Deraisa. Of course you can't do an Issa Deraisa. And therefore, there's no Stira. By the Shoferish Beitza, Shabbos is very strict. We don't make any Gzeiras. And here it's not a Gzeira of Aniva, Atu Kishira, it's Aniva's Asr, just like Kishira's Asr. So there's no problem, Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem, the Chachamim, Ad the Chachamim. Mara says, still, we got a problem. V'rami, Rabbanon, Ad Rabbanon. I'll still show you that there seems to be a stira in the opinion of the Chachamim. Not, in this case, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. It's only opinion in the opinion of the Chachamim. From a different Mishnah in Shabbos. It says, Ditnan, in a different Mishnah in Shabbos, on Daf Kufyud Gimel, it says, Koshrin Dili Bepiskia. When you go and make this rope that got cut, so you're allowed to go and tie it with a piskia. We said the piskia was this garter belt. And you're allowed to go and make a kesher with it because it's not going to be a permanent structure. Avalo Bechevel, but you can't use a rope. The rope, if you make a kesher with it, it's going to be a permanent structure. So therefore, you can't do it. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're allowed to go and even make a kesher over here with a rope. So we have to explain why this is allowed. So the Gemara says, it doesn't make any sense over here. Why would you like to make a kesher? So Chevel Damai, what exactly are we talking about that the Chacham say you can't use a rope, and the Rebbe says you can use a rope? If we're talking about Ilemach Chevel Diyama, we're talking about a real rope, so then why in the world would Rebbe Yehuda be matir it? Rebbe Yehuda matir? Kesher Shokayamahu, Devadi Oselibatule. This is a real knot, and if it's a real rope, so then it's going to be left there permanently, and this would be a real Issa Daraisa, according to everybody. So there's no way that this could be talking about a regular Chevel. So obviously not. Elapshita, it's clear, it's obvious, it's talking about a different type of rope. What type of rope? Elapshita, the gardi. It's talking about, a gardi is a weaver. So it's talking about a weaver's rope. Now the weaver needs his rope, so there's no way he's letting you keep it there permanently tied. He says, okay, I'll let you do it right now, but you're definitely going to give it back to me right after Shabbos. So therefore, it's a temporary knot, and there is no reason to make a gzeira over here that you'll end up leaving it here because the weaver is going to say, I want my rope back. Now, The Chachamim say you can't do this with the Chevel. The Gazu Rabbanon Chevel the Gardi or to Chevel the Alma. So the Rabbanon over here do make a Gzeira. And they say that we're concerned if we let you make a knot over here with the weaver's rope, even though that's a temporary knot, you may come to make a permanent knot. Now that's a problem because here the Chachamim make a Gzeira, but the Chachamim did not make a Gzeira that if we allow you to make a bow, then you may come to make a knot. So how come with the weaver's rope, they made Gzeira, but with a bow, they did not make Gzeira? Again, Rav Yehuda has no problem. Rav Yehuda says that Ananiva is an Issa Daraisa. That's why he didn't have to make Gzeira. He said it's Osir. And here, he doesn't make Gzeiras. Rav Yehuda, in general, says we don't make Gzeira because of Shabbos. Shabbos is so strict, we're not going to need to make Gzeira because the weaver is definitely going to want his rope back, and therefore it's going to be only a temporary knot. We don't have to make any sort of Gzeira. So Rabbanon, our Rabbanon is a kasha, but Rav Yehuda is not a kasha. But again, the Rabbanon of the Rabbanon is a kasha. How come, in terms of Ananiva to a knot, they did not make Gzeira? But over here, from a Chevel of a Gardi to a Chevel, a regular Chevel, they did make Gzeira. Shmuel says, no, that's not a stira in. That's 100% right. Chevel b'chevel milchlaf. A rope is a rope. So what difference does it make if it's the rope of the weaver versus a regular rope? It's a rope. And therefore, if we allow you to use the rope of a weaver, you may come to use a rope of a regular rope that is going to be a permanent knot. So therefore, they felt it was necessary to make a gzeira in regards to the ropes. However, aniva b'kshira lo michlafa. Those are two different things. A bow is not a knot. And everybody knows you can make a bow, and it won't lead you to making a knot. So we've straightened out all the stiras, or seeming stiras, over here between the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan, and Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. Finally, we go back to one last point, and we say, we did bring down from Abaye that in a situation where you are Badu Minei, for example, by the Mishnah Menachos with the Chodesh, where people are used to not eating Chodesh until it becomes Yashin on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, when they bring the Korban Omer, so if you're Badu Minei, then Rav Yehuda doesn't need to make a Gzeira. We got a question on that, because there's a Braisa. That's the Gersa that we have, that it's a Braisa, and that's the Gersa that Rashi has. Rashi says that we should be Goris over here, Dikitanya. He says, Mum lo yebo, en li elo shalo yatibo mum. Minayin shal yigrom lo tamilomer komum. And this, he says, is a Braisa Maseches Beitza, that on the Bechor, you're not allowed to go and make a mum. And this is a Braisa. However, the Bach says this is actually a Mishnah in Bechoros. In any event, whether it's Dikitanya or Vatnan, it's going to be a problem for Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says if it's something that you don't normally deal with, so then you don't have to make a gzeira. And here, in this case of a mum, we do make a gzeira. Rabbi Yehuda does make a gzeira. What's the case? Bechor shachas odam. If you have a bechor that has a suffusion of blood, that's how they normally translate achaz odam. Maybe it has some congestive heart failure, it has excess blood, and the treatment for that is to go do a phlebotomy, to go and remove some blood. Fine. That's the situation. And afilu hu meis, the Tana Kama over here says, even if the animal is going to die unless you do this phlebotomy on the Bechor, it's forbidden to do this. Ein makiz lo dam, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Tana Kama is Rabbi Yehuda. Because we make a gezeira. We say, even though the Bechor is something that's badu minei, the coin has nothing to do with the Bechor, you're not allowed to have anything to do with the Bechor until it gets a mum naturally, so it's badu minei, so Rav Yehuda should have said, we don't make a gzeira, yet we clearly see, either it's a braisa that Rashi brings down from Beitza, or this is a Mishnah Bechoros, that says that even though it's badu minei, ein makiz lo dam, because if we allow you to make a phlebotomy from a place where it won't cause a mum, you may come to do a phlebotomy in a place that will cause a mum, and you're not allowed to make a mum in a Bechor. This is Divrei Rav Yehuda, so it's going to be Kasha Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda. How can you tell me, Abaye, that Rav Yehuda says when it's Badu Minei, he doesn't make Gezeiros? Here's a perfect example where he does make a Gezeira. The Mishnah in Menachos, which says by Chodesh, Rav Yehuda doesn't make a Gezeira because of Badu Minei, is arguing with this either Braisa from Beitza or this Mishnah from Bechoros that says that we do make a Gezeira when it comes to a mum in a Bechor, Divrei Rav Yehuda. We just completed. No, you're allowed to go and Yakiz do a phlebotomy. However, you have to be careful not to make a mum. Fine, we're not interested in the Chacham's opinion, but it's a stira, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says, no. Hossam, in the case of the Bechor, a person is so worried about his money, he's going to lose his Bechor. The Kohen has this, he says, this is supper for me. If it's a carbon, he'll bring it as a carbon. If it's after the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he has to wait till it gets a mum, and he can live off this for a couple of nights. So therefore, it's a huge financial loss. Mitosh adam bohol al mamona. We turn to the Amid Beis, Yud Aleph Amid Beis. Person is very much concerned about this financial loss, so he's going to get all crazy. And therefore, Amrina, we say, Ishar Islay, B'makum She'enos Imamum, says his animal looks like it's about to die. So this person is so upset, he's going to say, okay, let me make the Hakaza, I'll do it anywhere. If we allow him, Ishar Islay, B'makum She'enos Imamum, if we allow him to go do the phlebotomy in a place that normally doesn't make a mum, he's going to be so bamboozled about his money. Also, maybe B'makum She'enos Imamum. And he's going to cause a mum, which you're not allowed to do. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda there says, Adam bol amamono. So there we have to make a gzeira. But in general, for something that we're badumine, for example, like the chadosh, the mishnah minachos, we don't have to be concerned. And the rabbanon, why do they say over here that we allow you to go do the phlebotomy in a place where it won't make a mum? There is no concern to make a gzeira that you come to make it in a place where it will make a mum. The rabbanans, they say, what better argument do you have if a person is bohol amamomo? If you don't let him do something, he's going to do something. So kol shekein di lo sharis le klal. If you don't let him do the permissible thing, osi lemevat, he could end up doing something far worse. So therefore, the rabbanans say, let him do a phlebotomy properly in a place where it won't make a mum, and this way it won't lead to go making a mum, because adam bala mamono. So they each look at it in a different way. The Chacham say, because a person's bala mamomo, you better let him do it in a permissible way, because he could end up doing it in a non-permissible way. And Yehuda says, no, a person's so bala mamono, if you let him do it, he's going to do it, possibly in a non-permissible way. But therefore, there's no stira on badal mine. Here, even though it's badal mine, we have another principle, adam bohol amamono. Whereas questions is, however, where it says, "Umi Amrino Yehuda Adam Bala Mamono." Does Yehuda really hold from this concept, Adam Bala Mamono? I'll show you that he doesn't. We have another Mishnah in Beitzah. It says over there, "Vatnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer." Yehuda says, in a situation where an animal has its hair that's very matted together, and Rashi explains this causes the animal to be weak, machish es habehema umitzara, and it causes the animal to have pain. So when your animal's hair needs to be combed on a weekday, you comb the hair of the animal. And you'll take either a metal comb that has very thin combs on it, thin teeth on it, that could make a wound, but on a weekday it's no big deal. Or you take a thicker comb that doesn't comb so well, but it doesn't cause a wound. But when you have it on Shabbos or Yontif, then you got a problem. But now we learned in this Mishnah Beitzah, Review Domer, Ein Mekadrin. That's the girsa that we have. Others have the girsa Mekardin. In any event, you're not allowed to use this Mekardrin or Mekardin type of a comb, which the Gemara itself will explain in a second, means a comb with very thin teeth, a metal comb with very thin teeth. So Ein Mekadrin of Heim of Yontif, you're not allowed to go and comb the animal on Yontif, even though there's going to be tsar, and even though it's going to be a financial loss, because you're going to go make a chabura, possibly. It's a psik reisha that you're going to make a chabura when you use this comb. However, you are allowed avol mekartzefin. You can use over here, this is a wooden comb that has thicker teeth, and it doesn't cause a wound. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. He's the Tanakhama. So he says, we don't make a gzeira, even though a person is bala mamono, by saying you can't use a wooden comb that has these thick teeth, because you may come to use a metal comb that has these thin teeth. So Rabbi Yehuda does not make a gzeira, even though a person is upset. His animal is mitzar, and his animal is going to get weakened, and it's a financial loss. So he doesn't make a gzeira adam bala mamono. So there's going to be a kash over here in Beitzah. We don't make a gzera adam bala mamono, and yet, in the previous case, we were concerned that the animal had this suffusion of blood. We are saying adam bala mamono according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't allow you to make the phlebotomy even in a place where it won't make a mum, because you'll be so bala mamono, you make it in a place that does have a mum. So therefore, it's a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, bala mamono or not. It seems to have a stira. And by the way, we finish off, the chacham amrim, ein mekadrin af ein mekartzefin. The chacham don't allow you to comb it at all. Now, the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, what exactly are these Mekadrin and Mekartzefin? I already told you, here's where I got it from. Ezo Kidur, Ezo Kirtzef, what exactly is these different types of combing? So Kidur is with a metal comb that has thin teeth, Kitanim, Vosichabur, and it's Psik Reisha that it will go make a wound. Kirtzef, this Mekartzefin, is Gedolim, it's a wood comb that has thicker teeth, Enosichabur, and it doesn't make a wound. But the bottom line is, Kasha, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, one place he says, Adam Bala Mamono. By the Bechor, he won't let you do a phlebotomy in a place where it doesn't make a mum, because he's concerned, bala mamono, you may make a mum in a place when you do the phlebotomy that does make a mum. And yet, by the combing, he says, no problem, use a wooden comb with the thick teeth all you want. I'm not concerned that you'll come, bala mamono, and you'll go take a metal comb that has thin teeth. So, stira, review that, Rehuda. So Gemara says, no, it's not a stira. Hasam di shavik le mayis. By the case of the bechor, if we don't do a phlebotomy on that animal, the animal's going to die. That's adam bal amamono. And therefore, Rav Yehuda says, sorry, I got to make a gzera. Amrinon adam bal amamono. But here, hacha, in the case of the animal that has the matted hair, mishkeferlich, it's not so terrible. Hacha, ishavik lei, if you don't go comb the animal's hair, you're not going to lose the animal. Okay, granted, tzara, it's going to have a little bit of pain, and as Rashi says, it's going to be a little bit weaker, tzara biyabo, but it's not going to destroy your animal. You're not going to suffer financial loss, and therefore, lo amrin, nor the balamoto. He has plenty of time to go think, what am I allowed to do on Yom Tov? What am I not allowed to do? I'll ask the Rav. Oh, the Rav says, I can take a wooden comb with the thick teeth. No problem, I'll take that. The animal's in a little bit of pain. I feel bad for the animal. I'll run to get the wooden comb, but I'm not going to take a metal comb and cause a wound. So therefore, it's no stira. Sometimes adam is balamamono when it's a really balamamono case, like the animal's going to die. But here, the animal's going to feel a little bit sad. The animal's going to be a little bit weak. That's not a case of adam balamamono. Finally, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, maishno gabe chametz de gazar, or maishno gabe kirtzov de lo gazar. So the bottom line is, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda was gozer. So we see he does make gezeres. He said, don't go do the bdikas chametz in the middle of Pesach. Now, why over here? Why didn't he feel it was necessary to make a gzeir over here? What's the difference between the two? And the Gemara gives the obvious teretz. Lechem belechem michlaf, kidur bekirtzov lo michlaf. This goes exactly in accord with what we've been saying. That bread can easily be confused with bread. When you see a cookie, so you're going to eat this cookie all year round, so you're going to forget yourself and you're going to eat it on Pesach. But kidur and kirtzov are two different things. One is with a metal comb with thin teeth that does make a chabura, and the other one is a wooden comb with very thick teeth that doesn't make a chabura, and therefore there is no concern. And that's why the bottom line is from this entire Gemara, sometimes Rav Yehuda does make a gzera, and sometimes he doesn't. Each case is individual. There's no across the board, I make a gzera, I don't make a gzera. And the same thing with the chachamim. Sometimes they make a gzera, sometimes they don't. And several of the principles we look into account, bodul minei, not bodul minei. Do we count the strictness of Shabbos, not the strictness of Shabbos? Do we say bodul amamono, do we not say bodul amamono? All of these types of things factor into whether in some situations Rav Yehuda does make a gzera, in other situations he doesn't. In some situations the chachamim make a gzera, and in some situations they don't. A beautiful sugya. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us something that we've talked about previously. We refer to this Mishnah already as well. Rabbi Meir tells us, Ochlin kol chamesh, on your dalit, you're still allowed to go and eat chametz, midaraisa, and even midarabanan, up to and including the entire fifth hour of the day. Again, in our idealized day, to start 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., with 6 to 7 in the morning being the first hour, 7 to 8 being the second hour, 8 to 9 being the third hour, 9 to 10 being the fourth hour, 10 to 11 being the fifth hour. You can eat chametz until 11 o'clock, until the end of the fifth hour. Ochlin kol chamesh. And then, v'sarfim mitchil hashesh, in the sixth hour, which is 11 to 12, 11 to noon, in the morning of your dalet, that's when midirabanan, you're not allowed to have chametz, and that's when you have to go and burn your chametz. Until noon, midaraisa, you're allowed to have chametz. And these are additional restrictions that the rabbis put into place. According to Rav Meir, they only put it into place at the start of the sixth hour. Until the start of the sixth hour, you can eat chametz, any type you want, and you just have to get rid of it in the sixth hour, midirabanan, and you go and do the bir chametz in the sixth hour. That's Rabbi Meir, the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, we're a little bit stricter here. Rav Yehuda says, Ochlin kol arba, you're only allowed to eat up until the end of the fourth hour. Again, till 10 o'clock in our idealized day. From 10 to 11, the fifth hour, tolin kol chamesh. You're not allowed to eat chametz, but you're allowed to get hanoah from it still at this point in time. You can give it to your animals. We'll ultimately learn that there's another opinion at the end of this Mishnah from Rabbi Gamliel, who says that you can eat truma during this hour, if you're a Kohen, of course, but you can't eat chulin. So that would be an in-between type of an opinion. So right now, we have the extremes. We have Rabbi Yehuda that says in the fifth hour, nobody can eat chametz in the fifth hour, but you're still allowed to get hanoah from it. In other words, you can give it to your animals. That's why tolik kol chamesh, we don't burn it yet, but you're not allowed to eat it. And then he agrees, in the sixth hour, v'sarfim t'chil ha-shesh, it's an issur d'rabbanan to have chametz in your possession during the sixth hour of your dalid, Erev Pesach, and therefore everybody agrees, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both agree you have to burn it at the start of the sixth hour. Furthermore, the Odomar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said another din, that he used to have a reminder for people to know what the hours were. So Rav Yehuda again says, up until the fourth hour, including the fourth hour, you can still eat chametz. In the fifth hour, it's tolin. In the sixth hour, you have to burn it. So they had these markers with the chalos of a toda. The Gemara will explain what the problems are with the toda, but I'll just tell you right now, a toda normally comes with 40 breads, four different types of 10 breads, and 30 of them, three of the different types, are matzah. No problem with Pesach. But one of them is made out of chametz. It's one of the rare situations where we have breads in the Beis HaMikdash that are actually chametz. Normally they're matzah, but here they're chametz. So therefore, there's a problem bringing a carbon toda. That's why, if you remember the davening, we don't say mizmor l'soda on Yod Dalet, Erev Pesach, because that would be forbidden to bring a carbon toda on that day. And our saying mizmor l'soda, neshamo parmes v'seinu, our saying of the Kapitol Mizmor L'Soda is instead of our giving a carbon toda, but you're not allowed to bring a carbon toda on your dalet Erev Pesach because it has chametz thick of bread in it. One of the four species, 10 of those loaves are chametz, and it's going to go to waste. And there's an issur of bringing a carbon to psul. So we don't go and do this because there'll be a very limited time to eat it, and you'll be maybe carbon l'psul. So therefore, we don't say Mizmor L'Soda on your dalet. So they had these chalos shel toda, psulos, that weren't able to be eaten. More will explain why they couldn't be eaten. And they would put them munachas al gavo itzdaba. That's the girsa that we have. They put it on the top of an itzdaba. Itzdaba is certain like seats or benches or platforms that the people used to have in the Beis HaMikdash and the area around it that they could go and sit on. Now, the Gemara will say that the girsa should be al-gag ho-itzdaba because he wanted it to be visible for people far away. So they put it on the top of this roof of this itzdaba. In any event, Kozman Shimunachos, when both breads are up there, so both of these chalos are up there, Kol Amochlet, everybody sees them and says, oh, it's not yet the Zman that you have to get rid of your chametz. You can still eat. Nital and Achas, when they would take off one of them, so one was taken away and one was left there, everybody knew we must be in the fifth hour now, Tolan. And therefore, they wouldn't eat the chametz anymore, but they would give it to their animals. And then, Lo Oakland, the Lo Sarfin. They wouldn't eat them because they couldn't eat them. They give them to the animals and still get hanah from it. They could sell it to a guy, but Lo Sarfin, they didn't burn it yet. And then, when they saw that both of these challahs were taken away, Nitlushteim from Al Gag Ha'itztaba, now they knew we're in the sixth hour, Hiskilu Kalam Sarfin. Everybody would go do the Bir Chametz. So that's Rav Yehuda supporting his position that the fifth hour was tolen and not like Rav Meir said. Finally, we have the third opinion, Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel Omer, Chulin necholin kol arba, that you're allowed to go and eat chulin all arba. Everybody agrees to that. But he said, in the fifth hour, utruma chol chamesh. If you're a Kohen and you have tar truma, you're still allowed to eat it because there's an issur of going to burn truma. You're never allowed to get rid of truma. So here, you could still eat it. So we don't make any gezeira that you can't have truma in the fifth hour. Chulin, no issur to burn chulin. So get rid of the chulin. Sell it to somebody. Give it to your animal. But truma, we want to eat the truma if possible. So therefore, truma you can eat kol chamesh, and it's only chulin that Rabbi Gamliel says you can't eat kol chamesh. And he agrees, all the opinions agree. In the fourth hour, you can eat still. In the sixth hour, you burn. And the machlokas between Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Gamliel is what you do in the fifth hour. And Rav Meir again says you can eat anything, even chulin, in the fifth hour. Rav Gamliel says you can only eat truma in the fifth hour, but you can't eat chulin in the fifth hour. And Rav Yehuda says you can't eat anything. Tolin, you can't eat anything yourself, but you don't burn it yet. You could sell it to a guy, or you could give it to your animals. That's the Mishnah. Now, Tanan Hossam, we learned in a Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah is found in Sanhedrin dealing with Eidus. And we're going to see a comparison between the potential time errors that Eidim could make or are considered acceptable and try to bring this into the Machlokas of Remei and Rav Yehuda. So Tanan Hossam, we learned there in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Echad Omer B'Shtayim B'Chodesh. If one of the witnesses said, I saw something occur, whatever it was, a capital case, let's say, where he says, I saw this murder take place on Shnayim B'Chodesh. It was the second day of the month. And the other witness says, I saw the same murder take place, but V'echad Omer B'Shlosha, it was on the third day of the month. Some even have the gear, so Shlosha B'Chodesh. So Eidusan Kayemes. So their testimony is accepted, and they'll put a guy to death, assuming that the B'dikas found that they're telling the truth. They will put a person to death, assuming it was Hasra, everything was done correctly, even though one said it was on the second day of the month, and one said it was on the third day of the month, they will put a person to death based upon this testimony. Why? They said different days. Because Shizei Yodea Biburu Shel Chodesh, Zayin Yodea Biburu Shel Chodesh, because it's not the same different days. One guy heard about Rosh Chodesh being an extra day, and the other guy didn't hear about Rosh Chodesh being an extra day. So one guy thinks it's the third day of the month, the other guy says, no, it was a 30-day month, so this is only the second day of the month. So therefore, it has to do with an error in knowing, was there an extra day in the month, or not an extra day in the previous month. That has nothing to do with their testimony. Their testimony is a good testimony. One knew about it, and one didn't know about it. However, the Mishnah Sanhedrin says, Echad Omer B'Shlosha, once it was the third day of the month, the Echad Omer B'Chamisha, once it's the fifth day of the month, then Edusim B'Teila. In that situation, we don't say that, well, Tosus points out, you might have thought that you should say the one guy didn't hear about last month also being a 30-day month. So he's been off a day from the month before, and now he's off another day from this month. That far we don't go. Edusim B'Teila. In this situation, we have to say that these two witnesses are not good witnesses, and we have to throw and reject their testimony out the window. Nadimor says, Echad Omer B'Shtei Shos. Furthermore, in Sanhedrin it said, if one of them said it occurred at 2 hours into the day, V'Echad Omer B'Shalosh Shos, and one said it occurred 3 hours into the day, Edusan Kayemis. This is also considered within the margin of error. They didn't have atomic clocks. They didn't have digital watches. They didn't have cell phones. So therefore, one guy says it was 2 hours into the day. One guy says 3 hours into the day. That's close enough that we can say that they're talking about the same exact thing. However, only in that situation is Edusan Kayemis. However, Echad Omer B'Shalosh, the Echad Omer B'Chamish, one says it was 3 hours into the day, and one says it's 5 hours into the day, Edusim B'Teila. In that situation, their testimonies are not accepted. We say it's false testimony, and we throw it out. The Tosus Yontif on the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin gives a reason why we don't say 2 and 3 over here. Why don't we say 2 and 4? Why do we say 3 and 5? He said 3 and 5 flows off the tongue a little bit easier. He says, Nochim ala loshum l'chavrum yosem ibeiz v'dalet. 2 and 4 doesn't flow as easily as gimel and hay, 3 and 5. That's teretz number one. He gives another teretz. He says, we left off with 2 and 3, so we start off the next one with 3 and go to 5. Okay, that explains why we didn't say 2 and 4, why we said 3 and 5. In any event, the Gemara continues. Devar Rav Meir, this was the opinion of Rav Meir. Fine. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, Edusan Kayemis. In this case, where they said 3 and 5, it is acceptable. He doesn't consider them two separate testimonies. He says that's perfectly good. However, even Rav Yehuda says, Echad Omer B'Chamish, Echad Omer B'Sheva, they said 5 and 7. Again, it's a 2 hour apart. Here, Edusim B'Teila. Why is that? How come 2 hours, 2 hours? Why is one good and one not good? He says, B'Shov Chomesh Chama B'Mizrach, because at 5 hours into the day, sun's on the east. And at 7 hours in the day, B'Sheva Chama B'Mariv, sun's on the west. And therefore, nobody's going to make the mistake. Is it 11 o'clock or is it 1 p.m.? Right? 11 a.m. or 1 p.m.? That you can tell the difference because they went by the sun. So if the sun is on the east versus the sun being on the west, they must be not telling the truth. One of them is making a mistake. However, if it's 3 and 5, the sun is on the east, it's between third hour of the day and the fifth hour of the day, the sun's on the east, yeah, that's within the realm of error, the margin of error. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, how do we understand this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? So there's two ways Abaye is going to tell us. The first possible way is, Amar Abaye, kishatim salom ha'ladivri Rabbi Meir, ein adam toav lo klom, that when a person is, according to Rabbi Meir, two testifying people, they don't make any real mistake in the time. And according to Rav Yehuda, they can make a little mistake in the time. L'divrei Rav Yehuda, Adam Torah, Chatzi Shah. Up to a half an hour is acceptable. What does that mean? L'divrei Rav Meir, Ein Adam Torah, V'lo Klum. Abaye says the first understanding of Rav Meir is that you don't make any mistake at all. How come one said 2 hours and one said 3 hours? That's acceptable according to Rav Meir if you don't make any mistake at all. Because he says, Ma'isek Yehava B'Meifak Tarte U'Mayel Tlos. Because it was at 2:59 going to 3:00. And one person focused on the 2:59 part, and one purpose focused on the 3, but they're saying the exact same thing. It's 2:59 going to 3, and one is saying it's 3. So therefore, they're both saying the same thing. When the person said 2, he meant 2:59, 59. And Hadikamar Shalosh, he was saying 3:00. And therefore, Hadikamar Shalosh, but they're saying the same thing. There's no mistake at all. They just phrased it a little bit differently. One said at the end of the second hour, and one said at the end of the start of the third hour. So therefore, they're saying the same thing. According to the Rabbi Yehuda, a person can make a little bit of a mistake. In other words, when did the event occur? It was actually 4.5 hours into the day. And one person said, he meant at the end of the third hour. So it was at 3:59 versus 4:30. And he made a half an hour mistake earlier. And that which one said was a 5, by the comma chomesh, is b'chilas chomesh, is 5:00. So 4:30 to 5 is a half an hour. So each of them could go and be off by a half an hour from the time of the real event. That's the first teretz of Abaye to explain this machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. That according to the first teretz here of Abaye, Rav Meir says there's zero mistakes whatsoever. And Rav Yehuda says a person could be off from the real time a half an hour. That's the margin of error. Second version of Abaye is as follows. Ika the Amre says a little bit more of an error is allowed for Rav Meir and for Rav Yehuda. Amar Abaye, Kishatim Shalomad Divri Rav Meir, Adam Toah, it's Mashu. A person can make a mistake, it's a little bit of a mistake, and Divri Yehuda, Adam Toah, Shah Mashu. A person can make a mistake of an hour and a Mashu. Again, it's a little bit more lenient than the first version of Abaye, of this Machlokis. Let's understand the second version. A Divri Rav Meir, Adam Toah, Mashu, a person makes a little bit of a mistake. When did the actual event happen? Maisa Kihaba. When did the Maisa actually happen? Either, oh, Besovstein was at 258, Haba, oh, Betzchalesholos, it was 302. So it's a little bit off. But Chavi, now you told Masha, once I'm a little bit off. So it was, let's say it really was at 3, once at 258, once at 3, once at 3, once at 302. That's why a little bit a Mashu. So therefore, each of them can make a mistake of a little bit. So therefore, that's Rav Meir's opinion. However, Lidi Rav Yehuda, Adam Torah Shoh Mashu, a person can make a mistake up to an hour. For example, Ma'isik Yehava, when did the actual murder occur? O B'sov Shalosh, O B'tchiles Chamesh. It either occurred at 359 or at 500. And therefore, in this situation, we turn to Yud Beis Amud Aleph. V'chad minayu kotoy shol mashu. One of them made a mistake. That was off by an hour. The event really occurred at 5, and one said it was 3:59, so he's off by an hour and a mashu. Or the event really occurred at 3:59. The other guy said 5, so therefore it was off by an hour and a mashu. That's Abaye's two possible understandings of the machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in Sanhedrin. Gemara doesn't like this. Gemara says, Azal Rav Huna, brother of Yehuda, Rav Huna, who was the son of Yehuda, went and told this over to Rava. Amir L'Shmaisa commanded the Rava. And Rava said, no way. Amar, Uma Ilu Daikinon Bahani Sade. We're supposed to go and really interrogate witnesses. We have a commandment. We have to go and make sure that we absolutely do not kill anybody unless it's absolutely necessary. Right? We have the famous statement that they would only find somebody Chayv Misa once in 7 years, once in 7 years, in a very long period of time. They were called a killing based, and if they found murderers that often. So therefore, we have to be very careful. So Rava said, Uma ilu daikinan bahani sadeh. If we were to go and really question these witnesses, that you're going to tell me over here that what occurred was at the beginning of the third hour, he really meant at the end of the fifth hour, and they're really off by 2 hours and 59 minutes. They're off by almost 3 hours. So you're going to tell me, so then we certainly wouldn't kill them because that's too much according to everybody. And you're going to tell me, and then you're going to say, we're going to go kill these people because I'm saying that he really meant it was at 4:30, and it really meant 4 or 5, or that it was at 5, and he really meant 3:59. All these interpretations you're giving, that's the best case scenario. We have to look at the worst case scenario. And you're going to allow us to take the best case scenario that they made a mistake? We have to take the worst case scenario. We have an obligation to make sure that we're judging properly, and we have to do everything to save the guy. So therefore, Rava rejects both of the versions of Abaye's understanding of the Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Elom Rava says, L'divri Rav Meir, Adam Toah Shtei Shos Chosem Hashu. A person, according to Rav Meir, can make a mistake a little bit less than 2 hours. And according to Rav Yehuda, L'divri Yehuda, Adam Toah Shalosh Shos Chosem Hashu. A person can make a mistake of a little bit less than 3 hours. What is that? So Rav explains, L'divri Rav Meir, according to Rav Meir, make a mistake, Adam Toah Shtei Shos Chosem Hashu, make a little bit less than 2 hour mistake. What happened over here? Maisa Kihaba. When did the mice actually occur? Oh, B'tchila Shtayim. Either occurred at the beginning of the second hour, or the worst case scenario was O B'sov Shalosh, or at the end of the third hour. So that's the almost 2 full hours. One of them made a mistake. Shtei Shos Chosumashu. One of them is off by almost 2 hours. That's Rav Meir. So the worst case scenario still is an acceptable margin of error. And according to Rav Yehuda, it's a little bit less than three hour margin of error. The thing of Rav Yehuda, Adam Torah Shalosh Shos Chosumashu. And therefore, when did the mice actually occur? Assuming the worst case scenario, Maisi Haba, either was Obitchila Shalosh or B'sov Chamesh, either with the start of the third hour at the end of the fifth hour. That's a 3 hour margin of error, which is acceptable. And one of them made a mistake. V'chad minayu kotoy Shalosh Shos Chosem Mashu. And therefore, even in the worst case scenario, Rava says, it's still within the margin of error, 2 hours, a little bit less, according to Rav Meir, a little bit less than 3 hours, according to Rav Yehuda. And that's why, even though we have Vishoft Ued, V'itzilu Eida, we can accept their testimony, it's within the margin of error, and actually kill somebody even based upon their testimony. Now, we'll discuss this a lot more tomorrow, but this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. With this, we conclude today's share.